It can be a tough life in the mountains, and it's not a place where many people get rich. The challenge facing the mountain areas is how to provide sufficient economic opportunities to enable people to live there while preserving the environment. It can be something of a catch-22 situation, as I discovered on a recent hike in a remote valley in the southeastern canton of Graubünden. 16.5 kilometres, starting in the resort village of San Bernardino at an altitude of 1,600 metres, climbing steeply up to the pass at Bocchetta di Cortruza at nearly 2,400 metres, then a much gentler and longer hike through the little-known Val Cortruza down to the village of Nufunen, just a few metres lower than our starting point. My guide was Christian Lüthi of the Swiss section of the International Mountain Protection Organisation, CIPRA. We set off at about 9:45 and gained height quite fast and could soon look down on the village and over to the other side.
We see different vegetation formations. You see the forest and then you see the shrubs up there. And this is the zone where we have the mixture of forests and shrubs. And this is a very interesting thing because in the middle of the forest you have biodiversity, you have animals, you have plants. And in the shrubs you have different species. And this is the zone where they mix up. And this is very important and interesting to see what ecological processes are going on there.
What processes are they?
It's the process of the forest going up because of the climate changing a bit. It's getting a bit warmer. So we have these trees trying to find their niche, their places where they can grow. And we have these shrubs. And we also have a range of animals which live in this region, especially in summer. We have the red deer, we have marmots up there. And all these specific insects and animals going on with these types of plants.
And are they under threat? One, because of development, and two, because of climate change?
Climate change is something which is going to change their habitats. You cannot just say they're under threat, but there will be some changements. And these plants who can go up, they will go up further on, and some can't. But this is also the problem. As you see here, these were Alps, pastures. You had cows here for a long time ago. And now you have this winter station in San Bernardino. And you use this landscape and you need some slopes to ski down. So you have to cut forests. And if you don't have enough natural snow, you need some artificial snow. And in order not to use too much of it, because it's expensive, you need enough energy and water, you try to have these slopes without a lot of obstacles. So the tendency is to make them quite flat.
And this presumably is a problem.
This can be a problem because you have to change the landscape. And if you come with your bulldozer and you make it flat, you will damage the natural vegetation. And it needs a long time to regenerate. It needs lots more time than in lowlands.
But on the other hand, people say if the tourists don't come, then this area is dead.
Yes, it's true. We need tourists who come and who give the people from the region a possibility for income. But it's the question how we do this.
With Christian treating the narrow path as if it were a flat road, and me carefully examining where I placed every step and trying not to look down the rather steep slope to our right, 3 hours later we were up at the boulder-strewn pass. I stopped worrying about rolling down the mountainside and started worrying instead about breaking a leg or twisting an ankle between the rocks. As we sheltered from the wind by a large rock to eat our picnic, Christian told me about the Alpine Power idea.
The aim of the hiking Alpine Power was to celebrate the 60 years of CIPRA, this anniversary. We wanted to go out, we wanted to visit the people we work with, to see projects, to discuss the problems they have. Because if you're always sitting in your office and making projects, you're not really outside and you risk to go in the wrong way, perhaps, or a bit in a wrong way. So it's good to have direct contact.
And what are the problems that you found? Let's start with, first of all, things that you found that have been going wrong.
Yes, it's always a bit the same thing. If you have a lot of infrastructure and you try to manage this infrastructure, the first thing you want to do is to build more, even more, to have more people coming. It's winter tourism with ski stations. And we have also seen the transport item is a big problem, not only because of the tourists, also because of the local people. a lot of the transports are short distance transports, and this is really a big problem.
And is there anything that can be done about it?
Yeah, a lot could be done. We should use less cars, use more public transport. We should go for skiing if there is normal snow, not artificial one, if we have the natural snow. We should try to have less impact on our environment. But everybody should do this.
What are the positive things that you found in the Alpine Power Walk?
Positive is that we met a lot of people who are full of ideas. They have ideas and they are convinced that what they do is a good thing. We see people working on Alps who say, I used to be a truck driver, but I have seen it's not the life I want to have. And my ancestors had an Alp life. They worked there. They lived there in summer. And I decided to drive no longer trucks and to go up to this region and to be a farmer again. And I earn less money, but I'm happy to do this. And we met a lot of people who are happy with what they're doing, but they do it on a small scale. They have a hard work from morning to evening, and they will not get rich probably.
We have a project to visit ourselves in Nufenen at the end of the walk. So it's off again, as the barren valley opens up ahead of us, with streams pouring down from both sides. It's now about 3 o'clock.
So now we're beginning to see a human intervention in this valley. What's that down there?
I think it's a construction to measure the amount of water passing by here. It is probably important because they could have some floods down in the valley where you have the first villages in Nufenen, and they probably measure how much water is passing here.
Uh-huh. And then I can see we'll see it in a minute, the solar panels.
Yes, it's from an Alp hut, which is probably used for cooking, for sleeping there during summer. So they need some electricity to have light in the evening. So it's future is coming here too. So they don't have petroleum lamps or something like this.
Let's go. Do you know what this is? This stone circle with a stone in top?
Probably land art. I think some people came along and built this up with local material.
Strange. Yeah. So we're not the only people who've been here?
No, I think in summer there will be people coming into this valley because it's really very nice. It's not touched very much, I think. You just have some animals which are farmed here in the flatter areas where the river flows. And they will probably not go up on these steep slopes at the left and at the right. So it's really untouched nature in big parts.
Now it's about 4:15, and below us is a group of 4 or 5 quite large stone buildings with a fence round them. There's evidently somebody living here, although they're nowhere to be seen. No person. Lots of sheep. Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds. Sheep everywhere you look.
It's very difficult with the wool, because a lot of wool is imported at a very low price. So if you do a lot of handwork, you can clean it and you can use it as a natural product. You can isolate houses with it. You can put it in the walls. You can use it for clothes, for sure. That's what everybody knows. But the whole amount of wool produced in Switzerland is probably too much to be used because of the price. So a part of it is not used at all.
So the sheep that we're seeing here, they're mainly for meat?
They're probably mainly for meat, yes. So you put them on the Alps during summer. It's a very good example here because you see that there is somebody here caring about them. And we also have other examples where we don't have anybody on the Alp. So you bring them up and then you go in autumn, take them down. Perhaps you visit them sometimes in summer and then you see what's left.
What altitude are we at the moment?
At the moment, I would say 1,800, something like this. But I can watch on our map. That's why we took it with us. Alpe d'Aroc, 1,810. Good talk.
First time we have seen somebody.
Yeah. Darf ich schnell etwas fragen? Seid ihr von der Alp da? Über
Pochetta di Curcusa oder die Tür zu Badwigum?
Zuerst, was ist?
Hinten?
Ja. Ja.
Sind wir offen? We're not the only ones.
Das ist wunderschön. Schön.
Ja. Das ist ganz schön.
Schönes
And he was off and away, and soon he was almost out of sight.
Not very keen to have their photos taken. Goodness, this man is running very fast.
He has long legs too.
Yeah, he does. And he's not stopping to talk into the microphone or to take pictures. Whoops. Can you say what we're looking at now?
You see the village of Nufenen. You see the river, the Rhine River, passing here. And the river from Valcurciusa is coming here. And you see the big road there going to San Bernardino Pass, which is a transit axis where a lot of people go from north to south, like Gotthard also.
Half an hour or so later, at 5:45, journey's end. This is what we've come to see. The cooperative in Nufenen, where Bündner Bergkäse, Graubünden mountain cheese, was first produced about 50 years ago. The cooperative is the oldest in Canton Graubünden, set up in 1846. We were welcomed by its president, Christian Simon, who started by explaining how the economy of the village changed drastically at the end of the 19th century. Until then, it depended largely on the transit traffic between Switzerland and Italy over the San Bernardino and Splügen passes. Then, with the opening of the Gotthard Railway Tunnel in 1882, the traffic collapsed more or less overnight. Lots of people emigrated. For those who were left, farming was more or less the only option. There are now 21 dairy farmers with about 250 cows in the cooperative, which is run entirely by themselves.
Half our annual production, we make about 120 tons a year, is marketed in Switzerland via EMI, and the other half we market ourselves, some of it in Switzerland, and quite a large proportion is exported. We started with Germany, more than 30 tons goes to German organic produce shops, and about 6 months ago we started exporting to the USA. Still early days, but it looks promising. Then France, Holland, Belgium, and a little bit to Australia.
As a niche product, the Bergkäse can hold its own, even if, like all Swiss export, it's currently being hit by the strength of the franc against other currencies.
Mountain product, organic product, the two things go together. And from a marketing point of view, it's important. Authenticity, coming from the mountains, in contrast to cheese that's industrially produced.
Bergkäse, mountain cheese, isn't to be confused with Alpkäse, Alp cheese. The latter is actually made up in the mountains where the cows go to summer pasture. The milk for Bergkäse is brought to a central point for processing. Since it's not an industrial enterprise, the equipment in the cooperative is made to measure, which makes it relatively expensive, as Simon put it. The pride and joy of the cooperative, an essential helper. A machine that turns the cheeses every day, paints them on each side with water, and replaces them on the shelves where they are ripening. It used to be done by hand. But with up to 40,000 wheels to be turned, weighing 5 kilos each, you can forget that. And after all that remained was to taste the product. It was delicious.